This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Illinois State University President Larry Dietz says he's pleased with the state budget for higher education this year. Dietz speaks from New York City with GLC's Charlie Schlenker about the 2% increase in the state appropriation for Illinois State.
Well, the actual dollar amount is about $1.3 million, and that's terrific. To me, the most important part of this, though, is the important gesture of having a budget, having a reasonable budget for next year, a full budget for the full year, and that's just terrific. So I want to say thank you so much to Representative Brady, Senator Berrigman, Senator Brady, Representative Summer, all the folks that voted for this and represented ISU well. We really appreciate it. It means a lot.
Does the apparent ease of reaching a budget this year suggest to you the previous 3 years were unnecessary?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that, you know, there was a 3 years ago, there was a distinctive difference between the two parties and what they thought the role of government should be. And unfortunately, a lot of us got caught in that debate. And I think it finally has come to the point where the most important thing is that people reach across the aisle and they work together and they compromise and collaborate and cajole and persuade, but they get together to serve the needs of the people of Illinois and in their districts, and in our case, obviously, higher education. They've done that. So to me, it signals that they obviously can work together and do some good things, and I hope that this is a signal for continued good things to come.
So they weren't doing their job before?
I wouldn't say that. I think everybody felt like they were doing their job. They just had a difference of opinion on what the job was, and so I think overall now, you know, they've shown that they can work together, and they did, and we're delighted about that.
In spite of the 2% increase, the $1.3 million, it is the second lowest appropriation for ISU in recent memory. Is this the new norm?
Well, that's the norm has been decrease, 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 and so the first thing that we wanted is stability, regardless of the the dollar amount is clearly important, but we wanted stability. And so this modest increase certainly helps. But the main thing that, in my estimation, really helps is stability. And I think the parents of the their sons and daughters who are wanting their sons and daughters to go to college and go to universities in the state of Illinois, they're more likely to do that if there's a stable budget. We have that now, and so we're thrilled about it.
There was a large increase for the U of I, $500 million for the Discovery Partner Institute in Chicago. Is now the time for that when there were so many pressing needs gone begging at existing campuses?
Well, the increase in the operating budget, I think everybody understands that. I do think that you know, capital appropriations are important, and I hope that those stay. But obviously, there has to be a release of funds for the capital projects. And so, I don't know. I've talked to President Colleen at the University of Illinois. I've had conversations with the governor and others about the project in Chicago, and it's an ambitious project, one that I think that they hope will attract major industry into Chicago. Whether or not this is the time or not is really left to the politicians to decide. But we're delighted that the capital probe that we received, we hope those dollars will be released. The College of Fine Arts has been very patient since 2009 and really since then, and we hope to, build that building. We're ready to go. The architecture and design is completed, and we need it. We've already spent about 10% of the overall cost of that project on maintenance and fixing pipes that have burst and so forth. And we want to build that project and get that completed so we could move on.
That $61 million line item for the fine arts complex project,
right.
It, as you mentioned, it was first approved in 2009. What has changed since then in terms of costs? You alluded to the maintenance costs of the existing aging decrepit facility, but in terms of construction, what will have to be redone or changed?
Well, they factor in an automatic inflation rate each year that a project like that is not completed. And so that's the difference between the originally proposed 54 and the now proposed 61 million is that automatic inflation piece that's in that. But to us, the more important piece is that we want our students to be proud of the facility that they're in. And you can do good things in an old facility, but literally we've spent nearly $6 million over the course of the last several years on cleaning up after pipes have burst, trying to patch roofs that are leaking and causing more problems. And so anytime that you've got nearly 10% of a project just literally going down the drain through bursting pipes and so forth, that money could have been applied toward the construction. And so we're hopeful those funds will be released. We need that project badly. The faculty, the staff, and the students deserve that.
Technology changes, best practices, and construction change. Will there have to be a revision in the plans?
Well, we will revise it a bit. You know, in the length of time that it's been since the project was approved, you know, there have been some changes, I'm sure, in some construction, but we won't be going back to square one on the project. But we'll update it. But I think the basic plan is a good plan.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. With us is Illinois State University President Larry Dietz talking about the recently concluded spring session of the General Assembly. The pension shift proposal to force colleges and universities to take over the annual or normal cost of pension payments to the retirement system did not have traction this year because the proposal on the table from the governor was on an accelerated schedule and was widely viewed as too ambitious a transfer that would burden universities and colleges. When do you think this will come back and in what form?
Well, I think, you know, the issue of pensions is one that's that hasn't been addressed. It's been addressed piecemeal at different times, but I do think it's still an issue that is out there. There have been various organizations that have suggested ways to address it. Some could be a refinancing of the debt. And I think, you know, that's one option. You know, if you bought your house and your mortgage was 10%, you would be foolish not to refinance it since the rates are much lower than that now. So I would say that, you know, refinancing some of that debt might be something that could be looked at. But the cost shift of taking that out of the state, pushing that onto universities, the money's just not there. That is the same as basically cutting our budgets again because we don't have the wherewithal to meet that. So overall, I don't think it's a good idea unless additional dollars were coming into the institutions to offset the expense that would be assessed to us.
Do you think that lawmakers will agree with you?
Well, I think I certainly hope so. I think that they understand that, you know, any shift of cost is essentially the same as a cut to our budgets. And, you know, without the dollars to, you know, meet that cost shift, we're back into a real bind in terms of our funding with all that. So I do think that there's lots of other things that could be explored in addition or in place of the idea of a cost shift.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers styling themselves the Higher Ed Working Group has introduced a package of legislation, some of which passed already, changing MAP or the Monetary Assistance Program from a one-year award to a four-year guarantee for students. What do you think the impact will be of that relatively small move?
Well, first of all, we hosted one of the meetings of the working group on the campus, and it's a bipartisan group of dedicated folks trying to come up with good ideas about things that they could do that would improve the effectiveness of the programs that they do sponsor. So I do think that, you know, the four-year guarantee on MAP is a good idea. The individual who may start school with a MAP program and then a MAP grant and then maybe not get it the second year, you essentially interrupted their schooling. So I think providing that continuity will help with retention of the students who are recipients of MAP. But the bottom line is the MAP program overall is terribly, terribly underfunded. Only 41% of the students who apply for MAP in the state actually get it. So said another way, 59% of the population does not receive MAP, and many of those students don't go anywhere. And if they don't go anywhere, we're leaving federal Pell Grant money on the table. And so my estimation, we ought to be looking at more and more ways to fund MAP to keep our students in Illinois and going to Illinois institutions. I think it would be a wise investment. Though I do appreciate also the fact that an additional $25 million has come into the program this year that will help with starting a merit program, and I think the four-year guarantee is also a good idea.
Let's talk about that $25 million. That's the AIM High University Matching Program.
Right, right.
And it's first come, first serve, right?
Right. Well, most of the states around us have a program like the MAP-funded program, and it's a need-based program. But in addition to that, most of them also have a merit program for outstanding, talented, and academically meritorious students. So the $25 million is not in replacement of any of the originally funded MAP, which is funded at $401 million. So that amount is going to stay stable. But the $25 million is a way of trying to keep some of the best and brightest in the state of Illinois.
$25 million, though, how does that compare to the surrounding states? And is it a drop in the bucket from what could be a good goal of keeping Illinois from experiencing more brain drain?
Well, it is a bit of a drop in the bucket, but by the same token, we've never had a drop in the bucket before. So I think it's a good start, and we'll need to do, state will do some research, making sure that the start is a good start, and that it's accomplishing what we anticipate that it will accomplish. So I think it's a good start, and will help us keep some of those people in state, I hope.
Of those 40 to 50% of unfunded MAP needs, though, what happens with those kids? Do they go out of state, or do they not go to college at all?
Well, there's some evidence to show that they don't go anywhere, and that's the sad part. If they're not going anywhere, then they're not getting a degree. They're most likely earning, closer to a minimum wage, and they're not supporting, from the tax base, from their lower salaries, an amount that might increase, obviously, if they have a college degree. So to me, it's a, it would be a wise investment to try to increase that number to keep folks going to college in the first place and going in state in the second place.
What else is being pushed by the higher ed working group that you can get on board or that you might have some reservations about?
Well, they talk about, us providing and making sure that incoming students understand the majors that we all offer, and I think we're doing a good job of that. So I think that's okay. We're doing a pretty good job of that. I really didn't find anything in the working group recommendations that were, caused a pause. So we've had good communication back and forth with that working group, and perhaps, we can start other discussions now. They've come together on the budget and have more meaningful discussions across a whole wide array of issues.
About what? What's tops on that list, do you think?
I think part of this could be discussions about the pension and ideas about that. I think part of it would be how do you find money for additional dollars for MAP? I think, articulation agreements are something that they've been talking about. And I think most institutions do a really fine job of making sure that students who are coming out of community colleges are articulating into four-year institutions. They're a few programs that are up for discussion about how we might be able to do that better. But, you know, I think that there's just a whole array of issues that, you know, weren't, you know, were addressed in a small way. But I think, you know, the discussion is always a good point to get to good solutions to problems, as long as they're healthy and meaningful and respectful. And I think, you know, getting the budget going and having those conversations with universities is a good way to get that going.
The working group, among whose members are Representative Brady and Senator Rose Mahomet, is hoping that this is a template for spreading around credit and tackling ideas when no one is concerned about who gets the credit, making fixes more achievable. Do you think that is anything more than a vain hope? Because the things that they've pitched so far are relatively low-hanging fruit about which there hasn't been controversy. Pensions, of course, that's a much bigger, knottier issue.
Yeah, I think, though, that, you know, you get a momentum. And we haven't had we've only had momentum on one side of the aisle and the other side of the aisle for 3 years. And with everybody, you know, thinking they were doing the right thing philosophically for their parties and so forth. But I do think that now we have a bipartisan momentum around trying to fix some issues, and they've shown through this vote that they can do that. And so I'd like us, you know, for the university presidents to be a part of the ongoing dialogue about how do we capitalize on that momentum and have good discussions about some of the thornier issues relative to higher education.
ISU President Larry Dietz, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Charlie. Have a great day.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. President Dietz spoke from New York with GLT's Charlie Schlenker.